You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6:59, and next will be a calculated conversation. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio and the Jazz Society of Oregon are thrilled to present the 38th annual Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, July 20th, 21st, and 22nd at Cathedral Park in North Portland. The weekend starts with blues on Friday night. Norman Sylvester, Reggie Houston, and the Northwest Women Rhythm and Blues will be there. Saturday and Sunday will include Becky Kilgore, the Quadrophones, Tahira Memory, Randy Porter with Nancy King, the Ray Charles Review, and more. That's the 38th annual Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, Portland's longest running community event, July 20th, 21st, and 22nd, under the St. John's Bridge in North Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Keys, Beats, Bars community discussion on Sunday, July 8th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Social Justice Action Center in Portland. Keys, Beats, Bars is a music program for incarcerated youth. This community discussion will be about how music empowerment can bring the community together and to learn about volunteer opportunities and general information about Keys, Beats, Bars, Morpheus Youth Project, Liberation Literary, and many others. Again, that's the Keys, Beats, Bars community discussion on Sunday, July 8th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Social Justice Action Center, 400 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating, but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Spread yourself.
Hey, 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 Calculated Conversation. We back for yet another lovely week of talking about something. I'm your host, David Jefferson. Your co-host, Ken Jones, is definitely here.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we got a special guest.
Drum roll, please.
Yes, my name is Tiasha Thomas.
Tiasha Thomas.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you and Ken been doing some chatting a little bit lately.
We have. I mean, a lot of it.
You know, and my man speaks very, very highly. Very, and he don't do that too often. It's only on Sundays. But, you know, so we, for what I understand, I mean, I know you do some traveling, you do some speaking, you got issues that are dear to you, that you're passionate about, that you, and you got some deep experiences too that help you kind of cultivate your mindset and your thought process about these, you know, these issues and these passions and you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we want to kind of break some of that down and see how well we can calculate it today.
All right, let's break it down.
And toss it in the conversation. So can you, maybe you should tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
All right, well, my name is Tiasha Thomas. I am the founder of Tiasha Speaks. I'm a public speaker, mainly an inspirational speaker. I started speaking a couple of years ago after I left a really violent relationship that just sparked something in me to want to get out there and just inspire people.
So that's what you do. You you kind of go through your experiences and inspire people, and you obviously realize that other people are kind of parallel in a lot of those experiences, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Have you found in your experiences that people really aren't that much different, that we all go through a lot of the same things?
Exactly, yeah. I used to think that I was the only one. Sometimes you feel like you're just the only one going through something, and then you start meeting people and you understand that we've all been through similar things different,
right. mm-hmm.
but we're all the same and we all experience the same sort of hurts and pains and right. you know, things that either push us forward or sometimes take us back.
Right. Experiences are different, but feelings are the same.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Across the board.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's part of the reason why we got this show called Calculated Conversation, because we recognize that a lot of people probably don't really understand just how alike they actually are mm-hmm. when you break things down and take away a lot of external like qualities and, mm-hmm. and traits that divide people.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so like we trying to, so the goal is to build the bridges and talk about some of the same experiences, even though we are gonna be all different,
uh-huh. right.
but we're gonna try to use those differences to kind of create a bridge to awareness and understanding, you know? And sometimes we gotta start with our similarities if we can go a little bit deeper and find out what they are, we get past, you know, the top layer, right?
Exactly.
And so that's kind of what we, and so obviously, you know, you do a lot of that work and a lot of that same, you know, you probably study and focus on the same concepts without actually calling them that, but you know, we all doing the same thing.
Exactly.
So we want to kind of know how you can, you know, what are some of your most important experiences, some of the things that have shaped who you are and why you are and why you're here, you know, in life, in spirit.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I grew up, like some people, you know, I grew up in a really rough neighborhood, mm-hmm. Sacramento, California. I was okay. raised there. Then I was transferred to Oakdale, Louisiana. Huh. Really rural, really, you know, just lots of woods and trees and just a huge culture shock out there. And then, you know, my mother was addicted to drugs. I didn't grow up with my father around for the whole period. I didn't know who my dad was for... Right. About the first 8 years of my life, you know, my mother had five other children, traveled from home to home, shelter to shelter, you know, just, it was really, really rough. Getting with my dad, who was, you know, at the time kind of struggling with his own things, it was very strict, you know, you had to be in at a certain time, and me being the rebel that I am, and being very stubborn, you know, I just would not abide to his rules, never, you know, when I really reflect back, I never really did. Like even after, you know, years and years of, you know, him trying to drill it in my head. But
was it something that you just didn't abide?
Right, I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, just because
you just didn't listen to your dad for no reason.
Was it crazy rules or was it just like?
It was very strict.
Okay.
So my dad is a pastor.
Oh, yep.
Okay, so I coming from my mother, who is so far from, at the time,
yeah,
you know, so far from that.
Okay.
No rules. I'm at 9 years old, staying out as long as I want. They get right. into my dad, and it's like, oh my goodness, he's shocked.
Okay.
It's like, how do you even know what this means? And, you know, how do you know what that means? And it was a huge difference. But not to mention, he was very, very strict.
Okay.
You know, so okay. it really
like to
know.
A fault, like to a point to where you felt like it was destructive to your development.
It was, yeah, it was so strict. There are some fathers that are. They're men, you know, so mm-hmm. they know what men do, but it was just way overboard.
Okay.
And I think we've come to the conclusion that it wasn't really helpful,
right.
you know, in some situations, but it kind of, you know, shaped things. And I ended up moving. I left. I was actually in foster care at 15, ran away from the foster home, was just, you know, got with someone really young.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up in a really violent relationship, really abusive relationship, and it took me years to leave and years to build confidence. I had zero confidence, and when I did, that's what kind of sparked me to want to inspire other people. I felt like there must be people out here who are going through something similar who feel the same way I did.
So what with that, like, how did that idea go from idea to action? What was that transition?
Honestly, I knew in my heart, I know this will sound a little cliche, but I knew in my heart that I was meant for something more.
Right.
So I just knew that it had to be something better in my life. I had so much passion, you know, so many things to say. And I Googled careers and I was like, you know, what's the best way that I could use all these things, all these different emotions, all these experiences, and I just felt like being a speaker would have been the best way.
Like that.
Were you naturally drawn towards, you know, the, when we talked about this, some people are just natural talkers and they're able to go and navigate a room easy. Was that something that you had to work up towards, or was it just like, I'm telling them I'm here?
Yeah, I had to work up towards it. Okay. It took right. practice. I was actually very timid,
okay.
very shy. You know, in a room, you wouldn't even notice me.
Gotcha.
You know, right. I wasn't an outgoing person, never won awards, wasn't that type of kid, you know.
Okay.
Or that type of adult at all, so. Huh. But I had to get past that, you know, for a bigger purpose.
So in that process, like, what were some of the things, I guess, you did to help build that up, to going from somebody that was more reserved to, okay, I gotta swallow this and jump ahead of it? Like, what things did you do to kind of get yourself ready for that?
I'm gonna tell you guys something crazy. Okay. So I actually started really small.
Okay.
I started by being brave enough to say, I'm a speaker, even though I wasn't. I didn't even have a job at the time. You know, I didn't even, but I said, this is my job. Mm. And I started marketing myself to small groups, to people, telling people, I'm a speaker. What do you do for a living? I'm a speaker. Huh. And they're like, oh. You know, where can I find you at?
Yeah.
Well, nowhere. Here I am, you know.
Right. You just found me.
Right. Right, exactly. So that's just kind of how I started. I started saying that out of my mouth, yeah. believing it, studying it. And
that's sounding like some law of attraction type, universal energy type movement right there.
It makes sense. Yeah. You know, once you say it and you start, once you say it, you have to start walking in it. Like, naturally, you're going to start walking in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I was walking in my purpose, saying it before it happened.
Right. You labeled yourself.
I labeled myself. Yeah. You know, I've been labeled for so many other things. I figured I could label myself something good.
Right. Yeah, I feel like passion to bring that out of you. You know, like, I've always been an introvert, always been kind of quiet. And I'm still super quiet and shy. Unless we discussing something I'm passionate about, then you're going to see a crazy deranged man trying to get a point across.
Right.
You know, but I felt like the only thing that could ever get me to really open up is something that I cared about bigger than my fear of speaking, my fear of being, you know, on Front Street, you know what I mean? Like, that could do it, but nothing else could do it. Like, females couldn't even do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it had to be something like bigger, something powerful, something that was pulling at me. Like, you know, I never chose to do these things or have these conversations or even be able to discuss them like I do. That wasn't my choice. So it's like, when you know that, it just pulls it out of you, and it doesn't, your passion don't really care how. I was gonna say something else, but your passion don't give a
right.
But your passion doesn't care technically about your fear of speaking and being in public.
Right.
It does.
You know
not,
what I mean? It don't care about none of that.
Mm-mm. And you can't, it's not like you can just, it's like a fire. Like, you can't just put it out. It's like taking a towel, trying to put the fire out. Once it gets ignited, it's no stopping it.
Right.
So you just have to do it.
Right. Fire come right under the towel. Like, y'all still out there?
Right.
But yeah, no, that's real. So I definitely empathize with you on that, because that was crazy. I've been shy my whole life, and people would never even guess. Now they're like, you're not shy. I'm like, man, I actually really am, though. It take a lot to get me to talk about things I don't care about. That's what he's gonna say,
valid,
bro.
That's valid. The things I don't care about is
take
is
a lot.
I'm not good at small talk. I'm trying to get better at small talk, just the casual. We're not really nothing that we gonna take away from this outside of knowing more about the weather.
I get on the elevator and pray they don't ask me about the Blazers. Please, I don't even know what they did this year. I have no idea what they did.
I had my Boston Red Sox hat on the other day, and just so happened they was playing on Sunday. And like two different points throughout the day of me navigating, people just jumped into conversation. Didn't even start with, oh, you a fan? Like, none of that. They just jumped into the stats and what's going on.
Right.
It was like,
they don't get it.
What are we doing here?
They don't get it.
Smiling nod.
Right.
I'm like, this hat matched my shirt really nicely.
I've said that many times. So always look at
the hat.
Come
on, you know you're a fan.
Then to the shoes. If the hat, shoes, if there's a matching element in there, then just take it that might be what it is.
It could be any letter on this hat right now. It wouldn't even matter.
Man,
but no, but what was I gonna say? Okay, I had another question for you real quick. You said that, I got a couple questions. So first off, what's your message? You know, every speaker, every inspirer, everybody that's with the awareness movement, they have a message they're trying to get across. How would you sum your message up in a thesis? Somebody said, what does she care about? What message is she trying to get across to the people exactly?
my core message is to help people to persevere. We have so many people that are not, you know, they don't know how to persevere. Mm. So they take what their passion is, or they take what they're meant to do, and they shove it deep, deep, deep down, and they forget about it. They become mothers, they become husbands, they become, who knows, workers. A fireman, UPS yeah. workers, yeah. bankers, but they're not supposed to do that. TV's. So in a nutshell, my message is to inspire people to get out there, to persevere through life. It's going to throw lots of challenges at you, mm-hmm. but to get through that so that you can see what I'm seeing, right. which is a brighter side to life. Right. It's another, I try to tell people that, especially like I have friends that's still in the hood. It's a bigger picture. There's right. some beautiful things out there in yeah. life if you just get past your fear.
Right. I feel like, I don't know, let me know if you can identify, but I seem to feel a little frustrated, and it's not really my business technically. And like, I feel a little bit of pain when I realize that people never know the beauty of controlling your mind and how that actually makes you feel, and like yeah. being able to manage your energy and like control every aspect of how you feel and how you do things. Because so many people like delegate responsibility externally to people, places, and other things. Yes. So they don't realize like the power they have. And I'd be like, I'm like, you can fix this. I'd be so frustrated.
Living yeah. reactionary.
You can fix this. Like, you can actually fix, you got control of this. They think they have no control.
Because it's living reactionary.
And I think that is yeah. the downside of yeah. being an empath.
Yes, right. yeah.
I stay up late at night about your problems.
Wow. No, I'm the same way. I can so relate, right? I can relate to on a spiritual level to that one, because when it comes down to it, I, like, from personal experience, mm-hmm. I did not think that I had control over my life.
Right.
I thought that all these things happened to me, and I will never forget my dad telling me, he was like, you know what, if you keep on this path, you're going straight to prison or you're going to be dead. Mm. Like, one of the two. Because I was just too, right. I didn't listen. You know, I wasn't, I'm not a sheep. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fall in line with something I don't believe is right. Mm. And so, you know, I just thought that my life was basically, like Ken said, like just reaction. I mm-hmm. lived off of whatever happened to me, I have to react this way.
Right.
And then when I realized that I have control over things, I have control, I can decide mm-hmm. to not be depressed and not let things bother me. I can mm-hmm. decide to not live in my past. Mm-hmm. I can decide to move forward. I have power. Mm-hmm. It just did something for me. It changed my life.
Right, it really did. One thing I noticed, the way I feel is that, you know, we often get extremely off track and discombobulated over things that actually don't technically last that long.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, people get super stressed out about situations that are not even going to carry on to the next day.
Nope.
You know, or people that's not going to carry, not even going to be in their life in the next few months.
Yeah.
You know, or the next year.
Right.
Like, that's crazy when you think about how frustrated, like, how off track your life can get over somebody that's not even going to be there. You're not going to even care
that they're in the checkout line.
Right.
You know, and so you got to really address and, you know, deal with temporary situations like they're temporary.
Exactly.
You know, and keep your feelings temporary. And that's easier said than done, so don't let me act tough here.
Right.
I didn't cry in the laundry room about a few people. You know what I mean? But you know, in the end, just having the power and knowing, like, I just feel super blessed that I have the power and that I know this, because this is just about awareness and knowledge. And, you know, like, you know, they say information is really just one of the most crucial things, I think, like, that makes or break everything, or separates mm-hmm. these people from these people, or yes. these people down here mm-hmm. from these people. They say it's just information.
That's all it is.
That separates them. So it's like, and the more information you get, I think the more blessed you get. But if right. you're an empath, then you really want to share that, and you want other people to experience those joys, and which is why we got you here, and why we got this show, and right. what the ultimate goal is. So.
Right.
We appreciate you coming out.
I appreciate you guys having me. This is amazing. I love what you guys do.
Yeah. And it's interesting with what you were just saying right quick on the idea of having information and putting the information out there, and how there's a lot of people that's not receptive because they're trying to figure out what your angle, when you just
right.
this is what you do.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to help. There's no extra behind this. I have some information that could possibly help whatever it is you got going on. That mm-hmm. might be the link in there. And it's interesting how many people react to that in a right. way of, all right, what?
Okay. Why? Don't nobody just help nobody right. for no reason.
Right. And sometimes it's like, no, I just know this. And if I was in your situation, I would want to know this.
Right.
So I'm passing it on. And that's right. what it's about.
I'm like, don't worry about me. The universe is going to pay me back.
Right.
Right. Don't worry about me. Your debt is already paid. But I remember one time, I think this, I was lightweight joking, but lightweight serious. Because, like, you know, when somebody come in your life and they're doing everything right and they supporting you and they showing you love, yeah. you're like, what is you doing trying to accept me for who I am?
Right.
Where you get out trying to accept me and make me better? Like that. Uh-uh. I was like, what? I was like, but it was lightweight joke, but that's really the real, yeah. that's the reality of things. Like,
I mean, again, when you rewiring and having to recondition, right. you know, coming from whatever we come from, having to recondition to being okay with that. And I think that's part of where you're able to recognize mm-hmm. in yourself what it is that you're putting out there. And that's being receptive to it.
Right,
because I think
right.
that's something that people also got to take into account, is that what you're putting out, you got to be ready to receive too.
Mm,
there's
right.
others yes. out there that's putting that same thing out. You're not the only one, and you can come across that, and even if it's somebody you may not recognize it in. There's people that have these traits and don't have a name to put on it, so they don't even know how to explain it, but right. they still carry these same right. ideologies and push oh, the right. same thing.
That's right.
And again, there are people out there that will deal with you just for you.
Right, and that's,
as you are,
and that's why you have to calculate it. There's numbers you put in the equation that will get you the results that you seek.
Righteous.
So, okay, I got another question.
Okay.
You know, I heard you talk about relationships and being in something very unhealthy. How long did you stay in that?
7 years.
So, in your experience, you obviously don't do that anymore. So,
right.
So what?
I'm better.
So, why do you think that people stay in unhealthy situations and don't leave? Why does this happen?
It's fear.
Mm. Fear of
when
what?
When it comes down to it, it's fear. It's fear of, I may not be able to find someone else. Low self-esteem. I'm not good enough for someone else.
I can't pay these bills by myself.
It's not worth it sometimes. That little half, little piece right. of half of the rent,
right.
sharing groceries is not worth it. You can buy your own. Right. I've learned.
We breaking up. Right, we breaking up, but go on your side of the house.
Right. Right. The struggle is real. So sometimes people stay together for a financial gain.
Yeah, that's definitely.
But it's not worth it to me. So I just felt like, you know, and at the time, my husband, he made way more than I did all the time. I mean, it was nothing new.
Right.
But it just was not worth it to me.
Right.
I lost more than I ever got anyway.
Ooh.
Right.
No social exchange. There was no exchange.
Yeah, I think people at that point, you got to decide what's the most valuable to you. You know what I mean? Right. And so, like, when I look at relationships, I look at them. When I see the average one, I come to the conclusion that people are getting in relationships for every other reason other than a solid, real mental connection. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're justifying it through, like you said, finances, through familiarity, through history, through looks, through neighborhood, through, you know, it could be color. I mean, it could be so many different things why
right.
people justify why they're being with somebody. Everything but, I have a really strong connection with this person. Like, you rarely ever hear that, you know what I mean? So when I do business every day, like, because I deal with a lot of people, I always ask them, like, you know, are you guys healthy? Are you guys happy? Because I'm studying people as I'm doing my other business or whatever, you know? And so, like, and a lot of times people say, oh, man, we're just moving, or we're moving in together, so we're selling all our stuff, so...
Man.
You know what I mean? Like, we're moving. And I'm like, oh, how long y'all been? And then that's when I get into my,
man.
I forget about the Dave's TV. Then I get into the society
right,
college.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
so how long y'all been together? So would you consider you guys healthy? Like,
see.
How long, you know, and I find out a lot, you know, and I find out, you know, I learn a lot of information, but, you know, it's rarely, you know, we have a really strong, and I have heard it before, but that we have a really strong mental connection. And I think if you don't have that connection, I think your days are numbered. In any situation,
that's true.
You know, like there's nothing that's going to sustain, you know, the ups and downs and the trials and tribulations of a relationship like a mental connection.
Yeah,
finances won't sustain that. Sex won't sustain that.
Right,
looking cute won't sustain that. Having your bundles together.
I mean, you can get some years out of that though.
Yeah, you can get. Yeah, gotta keep a couple on deck. But
I mean, I it's funny because I remember saying this a couple years back. Like, I'm the Michael Jordan of relationships when he played baseball.
Oh, okay. I was like, you got married 6 times? That's
right,
6 rings.
Exactly. You see? So, in that idea of, you know.
Baseball. I love when you say that, bro.
Mike stage striking out, too.
Hey, right.
Right.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, coming across and understanding understanding now a lot better than then. Mm-hmm. What I was bringing to the table, which was my preconceived notions of how things should go,
right?
As opposed to just letting things go how they go,
right?
You know
right.
what I mean? And I think we all have, you know, a piece of that. And then yeah. also holding on to things for the wrong reasons, like the image, mm-hmm. what it looks like, mm-hmm. not how it's functioning. That's, mm-hmm. that's I think that plays a big part right. of what it looks like. And that's I'm taking function over the form. And that's something mm-hmm. that, you know, I'll put out there. You can have an ugly shot. If it hits every time, your shot hits. I don't care how cute it look. If it don't right. land, then what does it, mm-hmm. what does it matter?
Right.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
So, taking that approach and, you know, get a little bit older and realizing like, yeah. And also being able to accept that it's not always them. Mm-hmm. It's easy to put it out right. on, you know, yes. what's around and be like, because
absolutely.
Of them, this, mm-hmm. and then having to take in though the piece that we also put in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's a lot of liberty, man, in accountability, I think. I know for me, I feel so fresh and free when I can say, oh, you know, that was my fault.
Right.
I'll apologize. Yeah. I'm gonna fix
what can
that.
Your argument even be back to that?
Nothing.
I think there's not too many people that'll stop and be like, yeah, I was wrong in that. And that, like, whatever was backing somebody, the strength of
yeah.
all the ancestors past about to unleash, and you'd be like, yeah, that was actually my fault.
Yeah. Right.
You can't even battle no more. Now you just gotta be upset that you.
Well, nine times.
All them
well,
good,
yeah,
good
because people mostly argue and fight because they think yeah. somebody somebody don't know that they're wrong. You know
right.
what I mean? Like
right.
they, you don't know you're wrong, so I'm mad
right.
at you right now.
So now I gotta.
So okay, I am wrong. Are you still upset? Well, yeah, I'm upset. Why'd you make me take that long to figure out you was wrong? You know what I mean? But you know, part of the reason that people struggle, I think, also is like you said, they got these preconceived ideas of what they think a relationship is, and people refuse to grow together.
And for relationship, right quick, listeners, this isn't just romantic relationship. This also can apply to friendships, business relationships, just right. in general, just relationships in its regular form, however you make that connection. So anyways,
right, right. If you relate to people, it's some kind of a relationship, right. basically, you know, but. Everybody got their own ideas, you know, and that's the whole thing we're saying about like people not knowing how different we were. Like if we understood like how unique we all were, right. and even you know, in the fact that we operate off different formulas, even though they may look the same, we have different pieces in that. And I feel like if we knew just how different we was, we would probably probe more for information to find out those differences, as opposed to thinking, well, you should already know this.
Right.
Yeah,
hey,
you know, we should already, I thought everybody knew this is the way we did business here.
Right.
Everybody know that relationships go like, everybody know men do this. Everybody know women do that. A good man is this. A good man in all these terms. Look, I don't want to get you started.
A good man is nothing.
He hates when people say good man.
Hey, bro,
you know, and people don't realize good is such a relative term. You
man.
Know, like I mean, I don't know if you know this or not. You probably don't, but I'm writing a book called Society College. You know, and it's basically the education of society, the art of people, the. You know, the breakdown of the differences and the buildups of the similarities and the lack of empathy, and really just kind of based off the premise that most people don't know what it's like just to be other people, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
So I got this chapter and I call it Human Currency Exchange. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so, and what,
that's
I'm
what
try-
I was trying to say earlier.
Yeah, and say, right. And so, and what I'm trying to break down in this chapter is basically that people, like you don't really know how valuable you are to somebody until you know what they value.
Mm. Mm.
You know what I mean? That's and true. So, okay, so you might be attractive, you might have a big booty, but if I don't like big booties, then that human currency don't exchange over to me. So now you're not valuable. Right. So you walking around here with your booty out and I'm not looking.
Right.
And you like, what's wrong with him? You know what I mean? Which happens often, you
right.
know, for men, I know, and women too.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of men ride around in fancy cars, the expensive jeans, and like, I'm gonna get any woman I want till you meet right. a woman that don't value that.
Exactly.
So your human currency exchange value is low mm-hmm. in that
right.
scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And so we gotta line them up with our values, and then we gotta spend our money where they accepted
that,
right?
Makes a lot of sense.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So these are the things, so that's why I feel what you do. And when Ken told me, I was like, man, that's a dope you know, guest to bring on, because she probably within parallel with a lot of the things that we work with. Mm-hmm. But I'm also trying to break down people's awareness and understanding of other people and the fact that they exist and that they might be different and that you will have to still work with those differences and find a way to interact.
Right.
That's a perfect,
you know,
perfect segue.
I don't even know what I said.
Say, look, it took you over. So my question is, with that, in your opinion, being in these spaces that you've been in, so for the listeners, give them a little bit as far as like the places in which you speak. Can you give that a little bit
first? Yeah, I've spoken, let's see here. I've spoken at anywhere from Decatur, Georgia, in the middle of the hood, at a community event, a nonprofit community event, from schools, all the way up into Capitol Hill, all the way into Louisville, Kentucky, where I spoke to a ton of room full of CEOs, all the way back to iHeartRadio and so the list, K2 News, the list goes on.
Right, right. So with that, being in these different spaces and like you said, speaking to a room full of CEOs and so on, what is something that you feel like in those spaces, what seems to resonate with the people the most? Because I'm without knowing this room, feeling like your experience is probably different from what their experience is,
right,
as far as coming up. So what have you picked out or been able to notice is something that resonates with them? What's the feedback that you get from them that really drew them in?
Right. So typically in my more urban settings, it would be, you know, that was right. I really wanted to change something. I really wanted to change that.
Uh-huh.
Or I'm looking to change my life. Or they'll hit me up with a message like I'm looking to do this. So I noticed that sometimes people just want to grow in urban settings. And then in the around CEOs, it's like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe you went through all that. I'm so grateful for my life. So it's like
interesting.
It's very different. Mm-hmm. And it at first I was really uncomfortable. I was only used to speaking around people that look like me,
right,
that are from where I'm from,
right.
And but a lot of people, you'd be shocked to see who doesn't look like what they've been through, basically.
That's
hey, we might be two of those people.
Right.
Yeah, you'll be shocked. It's people that you don't. You can assume. I'm guilty of it. I assume.
Well, we're taught to do that. That's society's teaching.
Right. You see a white man, late 50s, in his business suit. You're assuming that he hasn't seen anything.
Right.
And then he sits you down and tells you what he's gone through, and you're just grateful for your life.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, I mean,
that's why it's cool to listen, man, and hear everybody's story. So
and be open to asking a question.
That's nice that you're a speaker, though, man, because I plan on doing that, too. I mean, I spoke at a couple places. I did Kentucky, too. Yeah, Kentucky Fried Chicken. they got my order wrong still, so I got to sharpen up my skills a little bit. But, you know, if you can plug me in, though, plug me in, because I'm going to travel with you.
Sliding all out of my chair.
I got you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right quick. For the listeners.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, we've been going.
We've been good in here. But for the listeners, 503-231-8187. Make sure y'all tap in and talk to us. You got anything that's on your mind, anything that you've heard tonight that you want to ask more to? Just give us your takeaways, whatever it is.
Right, or your relationship issues. Okay, don't post them on Facebook and don't call us. Okay, you want to talk about it, let's break it down.
Send an email.
503-231-8187. You know, give us a call, give us some advice, tell us how you like the show. You got a question for the lady here, question for us. Let's keep it moving.
Righteous.
So where was Righteous. We at? Where was we at?
So
oh, Kentucky. Oh, no, sorry. Oh, never mind. We got past that.
So, my question is from the beginning of when you decided this is where I'm going. I'm a speaker. Do you have any examples of the challenges that you faced and had to kind of recalibrate and reapproach as you went through this?
I thought you never asked. You know, there's a ton of them. From my very first issue was when I first decided to be a speaker. I'll tell you guys this. I'll make it short.
Okay.
I was left in an abusive relationship. I was living with my sister.
Okay.
I had nowhere to go. And my sister's like, you're a speaker? You need to get a job.
Oh.
And I'm like, and I was looking, you know, and looking. But I actually got a gig before I even got a job. And so people were looking at me crazy, like, she's crazy, like something's wrong with her. She has two children, and she's over here doing events. She needs to get a 9-to-5 and get her, you know, get her act right. So I encounter those not having experience, you know, so or not being known, or, you know, before my face got on some sort of billboard they said I was on.
Right.
You know, before that happened, I had no experience. So the disrespect, you know, that comes along with that, and people not believing in you and people not supporting you is what you'll have to get through if you really want to, you know, get your feet wet.
Right.
So.
Well, hey, the universe said you're supposed to be there, then you're supposed to be there.
Right.
You know, everybody else ain't going to see it, man. I think that's what separate, you know, the winners from, you know, the losers in that aspect of chasing success and their own awareness. You know, I mean, resilience, you know, being able to fight against the waves and go against the grain. I mean, everybody ain't built for that, you know, and that's why they say only the strong survive.
Right.
It's easier to say, oh, I don't want to hear that, you know, or I'm finna quit if y'all say I ain't good enough. Or whatever.
And it's one of those things, like, the confidence is built through sponsorship. That's one of those ideas that's been bouncing through my head. One of my partners put me on with that early 20s, and that idea that typically we go to our friends and family, our immediate circle, as far as somebody to back these, regardless of how crazy this thought might seem in the moment, we go to that. And if they're not juice behind it, it can do one of two things. Either motivate us more, or it can pull us back, like, okay, maybe that wasn't such a good idea.
Because
when we feeling motivated, we feeling that juice, and we want somebody to kind of reflect that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah, that was a great idea. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And there's a lot of times we don't meet that because for some people, this idea of they didn't hit a certain point, they've never had these type of ideas, these type of aspirations. So therefore, when this gets thrown to them, they're kind of confused. Like, how are you going to do that? The how isn't important. I'm going to do it is what's important.
Right.
And if we have that, that constant push, somebody behind us kind of being the cheerleader on the side of how many more of us would be able to kind of move and elevate in these spaces.
Right, because it's hard to do it alone, even though some people
you
do
want
do
the
it.
Support, but I think it does take a type of mental connection that it's like, no matter what, like this, I'm so focused as far as what it is that I'm about to do, that the others, it doesn't matter. Like, it would be great to have that. It would be great to have a cheerleader.
Right.
But I mean, I take it in my mind that your football team is not going to play any less if the cheerleaders show up or not.
Right.
You know what I mean? So taking that into account, we still going out here
running exactly.
This.
We just hope somebody cheers.
And right quick, for jumping in, we got Jeff on the line.
Hello, David.
Yeah, how's it going, Jeff?
Hello, Ken.
What's going on, Jeff?
I'm listening to the greatest show on radio.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it. I think I heard your voice before.
Yeah, I know this. I know this, Jeff.
But Tiasha, can you get these men to shut up for a minute? You're the inspirational speaker.
I'll try.
we tried, man.
All I wanted to say is that, Tiasha, you have given us a perfect example of stepping out in faith, regardless of all of the evidence that says, oh, don't do this. Mm. You stepped right up, and you faithfully took that move, and you gave us what? You gave us the information and the knowledge that we need, and the scriptures tell us that my people perish for a lack of knowledge.
Amen.
And you have done this thing, and I am eager to know this. You'll forgive me if I sound a little white and a little in my 50s.
Thank you.
But in this era, Tiasha, this era that we've come to call the hashtag Me Too era, this important time when people are becoming well aware of the monstrous acts of so many men, are you able to take full advantage, and I don't say that in a capitalistic or opportunistic way, but are you able to take full advantage of the fact that you are a woman, you're a woman of color, you are a woman who went through things that are unspeakable, and now you have something to say? Can you actually find a greater audience now that finally... good God, at last, people are recognizing that Harvey Weinstein, for instance, is a monster. And I'm hoping that this will be an opportunity for you to build your career to a greater extent now that you've all stepped out in faith to become a motivational speaker based on your experience, your life experience.
Wow. Well, Jeff, you didn't shake the room up. I am speechless. I am speechless. No, absolutely. I'm definitely, definitely. This just further motivates me. This is why I do it, is to relate to other people. And yeah, Harvey Weinstein, I'm not a fan. So definitely going to use this era to, you know, to reach out to the to people, because people aren't afraid anymore. As you can see, the Me Too, hashtag Me Too movement, people aren't afraid. People are speaking out about sexual abuse and abuse in general, manipulation of power. And I definitely can relate to that as well. So yeah, absolutely. I'll be using that to, you know, further my career and to reach out to people.
And one further note, if you permit me, David, Ken.
What's happening?
The opposite of faith is fear. Mm-hmm. And this is what Tiasha is fighting. And she's fighting it because fear is what paralyzes every species, whether it be the deer in the headlights or the morons, the multitude of morons that are listening to the latest thing that that number 45 in our executive mansion has done. Woohoo! Stop, people. Step out in faith, because fear will paralyze you. Mm-hmm. And I think Tiasha knows this, and fear is the absolute opposite of faith. And I commend you, and I thank you for taking my telephone call. And I hope that you continue with this, the greatest program on radio.
Hey, Jeff.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
We might have to take that sound clip and make that the intro.
Right. We need that.
On Earth.
We need Jeff to come down to the radio.
Right. You do all our drops.
It sounds like a radio personality.
Right.
So how you
right.
feel about that, T? About
I
Jeff?
You know, I want to say I have heard him before on one of your shows, and I was shook.
Yeah,
I was like, "This the caller." I think I told you, Dan. I was like,
"Yeah, you dreamt that."
The show was great, but the caller—I mean, the caller. Who is this caller?
Right.
These are scriptures. I know scriptures.
Yeah, you spoke that into existence. So I'm glad that he called you. But anyways, we got any other callers out there? 503-231-8187. Call in, give us some advice, tell us your situation, or just give us an opinion. However you're feeling, you know, we ready.
Righteous.
So what else we got?
So what do you feel as far as the idea of communication? Because that's essentially what you're doing. You're going here and you're communicating.
Right.
With these different from ground level to top of the building, right?
Right.
As far as finding your voice, like through this, like I'm at least I'm not thinking that the first time you got up and spoke is the same as now when you get up in there.
Right.
Do you feel that there was a moment that you caught your stride or something that you can pull from that was like, it was this that got me after maybe a couple stumbles, like this put me here?
Yeah.
Is there something that you can pinpoint as far as a timeline or a speaking engagement that kind of was like, that's the one that kind of tipped the tide?
Yeah, I actually can. And this one of the most memorable ones was when I went to Washington, D.C., spoke on Capitol Hill.
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know what's so crazy is that sometimes we have in our mind, and I know I did, I can only speak from my experience, that, you know, you have this notion that people are better than you. And so, you know, I came from here, I came from there, I don't belong here.
Right.
You know, and so that shook me. Like when I went to DC and I spoke to, you know, our lawmakers and spoke in front of a lot of different people with different experiences, it kind of propelled me to understand that we're all just people.
Right.
You know, and even though I thought I knew that already, but it's nothing like, it's easy to say, but when you're actually in the moment, it's different.
Right.
You know, so I think that's the one that is the most memorable experience. It got me, I was already out of my shell, I mean, obviously, but
right.
but it helped me to realize that, you know, this can be done. I can't believe I'm here. You know, this can be done.
Right.
And so I think that, that was the most memorable one.
Nice. So what's your ultimate, like, if it was up to you, where would you see yourself in, you know, when at the height of your career, should I say?
Yeah.
Like what would you be doing?
Writing a book.
Writing a book?
Writing a book. Mm. You know, it's so crazy because I think that's my biggest dream. It's speaking, because I have to get the message out there. I have to tell people that they can do it. Mm-hmm. I have to show them that it can be done. Mm-hmm. But I would love to. I'm just a big writer. So that would be like the height of my career. I'd be an old lady, you know, in my little bungalow somewhere writing.
So would it be memoirs? Like what type of book do you got in your mind?
Inspiration.
Inspiration.
Yeah, inspiration.
Get up, get out, and get something. Exactly. Close the book.
Right. Exactly. I'll have like three of them done, you know, in a short period of time.
That's funny because I always thought that it was the other way around. See, I thought you're supposed to write the book first. I didn't never want to write. I just wanted to speak. But you said you got to speak first, then you can write. See, no wonder.
You have to know who I am. Like, you know, I have to know who I am. You have to know who I am. You have to put a face with the name on the book. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's marketing. The business side of it would be marketing. Okay, I know who that is. I already have pre-orders, and I haven't even sold a book yet. Mm. I have words in a binder.
Yeah.
And I have an office full of pre-orders.
Right.
So, you know, they have to know who I am. I have to pound the pavement first, and then, you know, then I'll write my book.
I think a piece of that, too, comes from the idea that the more you tell your story, the more comfortable you get with telling it and being able to be... the idea of expression is broader as you've told it enough times to be able to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And if you told it to strangers, you know, in rooms, then you get to the point, I'm writing it down, I might be able to be a little more expressive than I could in these rooms. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Now I get it.
Right. And I'm saying this as somebody that I couldn't think about writing or typing nothing.
See, once those words come out, though, it's hard. It's hard to say that, oh, I went through this. Oh, I was sexually abused. Oh, I didn't eat. You know, that's really hard to say. So if you can say it, you can write it.
Right. See, I do an audio book. I sit back with the microphone and just talk to it. Right. That writing part will get me.
Yeah, you got to have a passion for it. Right.
That's crazy. So something I want to put out right quick, I know, and it'll tie in. I think there's a term, and I have this noted in my notes. And it's a dysfunctional fixedness, right?
What was that last word?
Fixedness.
Fixedness.
Yeah.
Fixation.
Okay. And and so this is the concept that it's the cognitive bias, first off. And it's based on the idea that some of us get caught up in the function of something and its intended purpose, and we only use it for that.
Okay.
And not understanding that there's many uses. If you think a little bit creative, think a little bit outside of the box and be able to apply that. And I think about this in the sense of a lot of people that come from, you know, these neighborhoods, these lower on the totem pole, you know, and this idea that there's plenty of people out here who are living a certain lifestyle, you know, and they're thriving in this lifestyle, but they can't see themselves in nowhere else. And that's, I think, a display of that.
Okay.
Because you're taking... Oh, I'm out here, I'm hustling.
Right.
Whatever it is you're selling. You're taking it that only applies to that arena.
Right.
And not understanding that the framework, especially if you're good at what you do, the framework for that works at CEO level of a Fortune 500 company the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, absolutely. I've told people that for years. I agree.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's one of those things that, you know, for the listeners, if you take a second, go Google it, read a little bit more up on it. But it's I wish that could be put forth. And it's like those challenges where you get, you know, they tell you to create something out of these three objects, make this work.
Right.
And typically you look, you got a box of tacks, a phone and a spout. And it's like, what am I supposed to do to raise this up to a level? And you're looking at tacks and it's like, well, you got a box of tacks you're in. You can dump the tacks out, use the boxes. Leverage to put something those pieces,
right.
And sometimes that type of thinking, because you're like, oh, it's a box of tacks, so I need to pin that to something.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need to take these out and pin it, as opposed to no, let me use the box. The pins have no play necessarily in this part of the equation,
right?
And it's just, you know, wanting people to kind of be able to step back and look into that and take in what they have in front of them and understand how that can be kind of manipulated to benefit you.
Oh, yeah.
The things you're naturally drawn to.
That's right.
And not even necessarily. It may be something that, but you feel compelled that this is where I'm at. So it may take the 2-3 years of getting to a point of being comfortable in that. and then adding in whatever it is that you may have naturally to make that work for you. And it's not forcing it at that point. It's just understanding that I need to kind of strengthen this. It's the idea. I had to dump those pins out. I had those pins, and I needed to dump those out and play with this box right here that they came in. And I want people to be able to take that into account when they're trying to make these moves and trying to maneuver these different spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's why it's so important to liberate your mind. You know what I mean? Like, mental emancipation is necessary, man. And we don't know how important that is. You know, we don't, I think I seen a quote that said, a majority of people don't know what's going on, and they don't know that they don't know what's going on. You know, and so, like, and so it's so easy to get caught up in what's going on around you. So, you know, what you're saying, basically what you're saying is, you have to create your circumstances. You know, it might not be a cookie cutter formula for you to do what you're supposed to do with your life.
But the tools may be there without you recognizing.
We have tools. We're all born with certain tools, period. And the problem is, we use our tools, you know, to try to build the same house somebody else built. You know, or you know, like, we're using our tools to try to, you know, like, build the car that somebody else had built. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same concept, when those tools don't work on that kind of engine. That's a whole nother engine. So you ain't going nowhere. That's
German engineering. What you over here with the metric joints?
And just a side note, you know, people think that you have to have every single little thing before you get started.
Man, that's a big one.
This has to be in order. That has to be in order. This has to be in order. I literally didn't even have a place to stay.
Right.
And I just knew that I had to start moving. I mean, if not now, then when? You know, so
what?
Just start stepping into it. You don't have to have, I did not have every tool.
Right.
You know, and you have to work with what you got.
Right.
To get where you want to go.
Right. And there ain't no time like right now.
Do it now.
I've been supposed to start working out next week for like 3 years.
Yeah, I was going to say it's been like six for me.
I think a lot of it could have to do with, you know, just doing what you know is right. You know, I think people try to overthink what's right and what's wrong when you already kind of know what it is. Right. I mean, you feel it. It's a strong energy in you when you're not doing the right thing.
Right.
And it's a strong energy on the opposite side when you're doing the wrong, I mean, when you are doing the right thing.
Right.
You know, you can feel that. You know when you're not in line. You know what I mean? Right. And you, in the end, most people always pay for that.
Shout one out way or ordering another. Six tacos in a taco truck.
Right, you knew that was wrong, man.
You
knew that was wrong.
I'm doing it anyway.
You knew that was wrong. You paid for them.
She ate those tacos anyway.
I ate those.
Drove off with them. But, you know, so that's a part of it, you know, like, just kind of going against your own personal energy, your own personal feeling and gut. We all have that gut, and I feel like 90% of people ignore that feeling. Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? When you're supposed to bust a move, it'll let you know when the move is bad. It'll let you know, you know. And so I just think sometimes we just got to take the thinking out of things.
Right.
You know, sometimes just allow the vibe to tell us what to do. This person ain't cool. I'm not going to hang around this person. I just don't feel good around them. I might not know why right now.
And that's enough.
Man.
You know? That's enough right there.
Because it could be 10 years down the line when you figure out why you was feeling that way.
Some people get married when they know they walk up there like, man, I know I shouldn't be marrying this girl. But man, her dad got money. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it happens to a lot of people, man. Like, you know, and so anytime we create unions or any type of relationships over things that don't relate to a solid mental connection, or, you know, an energy, like, it's not the right thing to be doing. Like, you have to go with what your mind is pulling you towards.
Right.
Not even what your body's pulling you towards.
Yes.
Because your body don't even tell you the right thing all the time.
Hey, no. Body's hella weak.
You'll regret it, though, you know, if you don't.
Right. Your mind be like, go home and go to bed. Your body like, your body like, follow her home right now. You know, my mind's telling me, I ain't going to go there, but, you know, you get the point.
Right.
And so it's just, you know, and we all going to be guilty of that, and we're going to do that again in our lives. So just because we know it don't mean we practice it 100%.
Right. And that, I think that's a great stat that you put in there. Is that nothing is 100%. I feel like there's nothing in 100% outside of you going to pay taxes and you're going to die. Nothing else is 100%.
Nope.
So understand that even with that, in your moments of not even weakness, I don't even want to call it that, but you've been diverted
30 for a second in there.
Right.
That's not the whole equation. So you may have fell off for a moment and it's bouncing back, but it's being able to recognize even after that, this is what I did. Not being confused as why did I do.
Right.
Like, no, this is what happened. I know why. Digging into it, I guess,
right.
And understanding that this is not 100% foolproof. We're humans. We're going to keep growing. We're going to be doing stupid things at 70.
Right.
Granted, we make it there. We're going to be doing stupid things at 70. But why did I do that? Mm-hmm. I know how to navigate. Why did I do that? Why? Because this is just a part of living in life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And calculations are not always correct. You can have calculations. They're not always correct.
And I think a lot of times, again, when you roll with the proper calculations and the proper energy, you have to do things you don't feel like doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You have to, like, get uncomfortable. The universe is going to tell you to get uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so, like, with that being said, sometimes it's just easy. And I think people like to test. And I know I'm one of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I like to test the universe. Like, nah, you can't be right this time. I want to do my own thing right now. Universe like, all right, do your thing then. I'll see you later. Or I'll catch you later.
I'm definitely a habitual offender.
You know?
Aren't we all?
So I think just recognizing that and trying to, and working on that, and at least acknowledging that, and, you know, and being honest about it is the first step, you know?
Yeah.
And not, you know, just not fooling yourself and,
right.
and those around you, I guess.
Right.
I think that's the takeaway from it is understanding communication, not only with outside people, but understand communication with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the thing that, you know, she pointed out in the beginning was she was telling me I'm a speaker. So I spoke that in. And you do start aligning. But there's also people that put out this idea of themselves that may not be that highly regarded.
Right.
I'm this, I'm that. And they also fall into that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And just understanding how powerful that is, the communication with yourself. Outside is just the outside world.
Right.
The external. Understanding the communication with yourself. That, I think, is the key to everything else. Because once you're believing that you're at this level, once you're believing the things that you're saying to yourself about who you are and what you are, regardless if it contradicts, and I think that's the hard thing in a transition coming from certain settings and certain ideas that have been placed along with labels and so on upon mm-hmm. you that you've started mm-hmm. to internalize and started to live with and just backing those ideas and concepts up. It's coming into now of who you think you are. And once you believe that fully, I feel like you're much better equipped to be able to help the people around you believe what they are and
Absolutely.
Believe the words that you speak to them and that they start speaking to themselves.
Right.
But it's
right.
definitely got to be one of those things that you have to feel it here.
Right.
Because I think people are going to be able to see through. Most people. Some people, you can slither. But when you believe something and you've got conviction in what it is you're saying,
right.
It's going to weigh a lot more on that side. Why? Because when they come with a challenge to what it is you're saying, you're so grounded in what that is,
right.
it's not going to shake you.
No.
People can break down if you just kind of hear and it's what you think for this moment, people can easily disassemble whatever that is that you're presenting mm-hmm. to them.
True.
It's easy.
Easy.
Especially if you got somebody that's quick and able to, okay, well, if you think this, then why is it what? Right. And now you're like, whatever.
Next, Judge Mathis like, sit down, sir.
Yeah.
Ma'am, and who are you? Okay, so you had the $5 and you gave him the $2. Oh, sit down, sir. Okay.
No when it comes
jokes.
To being sure,
yeah,
you know, sure of what you are,
right?
So that nobody can shake you, nobody could ruffle you up,
right?
And tell you what you're not. You are that,
right?
You know, and that's just final,
right?
So.
And it has to be internal, and that's the number one thing. And doing all that is what we need, but it's still gotta be something that's born into you. You know what I mean? And that's mm-hmm. the difference between doing what they want you to do versus doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know, and so it don't matter if you're not supposed to be doing it, it don't matter what you do or what you tell people. If you're supposed to be doing it, like, you can feel that, and people can feel that too, because
right.
you can't fight
that. Pick that up.
You can't fight that, and you can't create mm-hmm. that out of right. scratch. That's gotta be you. You know, so with that being said, we didn't.
So first off, where can they find you out in the world if somebody wants to follow this up with checking right. you out?
You can find me on YouTube, Tiasha Speaks, or if you just put in Tiasha Thomas, my name's spelled TIEAUSHA. You can find me on Instagram at TSpeaks, and that's just TE_speaks. And that's where you can find me, or you can Google my name and look at some stuff there as well.
All right, all the stuff she's done.
Yes, see some of my work.
And back to us, you can, if you're not following us already on IG at Calculated Conversation, Facebook page, Calculated Conversation Radio Show, and then you can email us at, what is it?
CalculatedConversation@gmail.com. Or, drum roll please, CalculatedConversation.com.
.com.
Ooh, awesome. And there's a page on there to contact us.
Right.
And you can also find a link on there to our feed here from all the shows. If this is something you liked and you want to kind of go back in time, well, right. We got 3 months, 4 months under the belt.
Yeah, we got like 12 episodes you guys need to go back and listen to. All of them have been pretty good as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
We got some really good feedback.
You can go and jump through some of that. We also got our social feeds on there, so you'll be able to check us out there. It's the central hub for everything going on.
Right.
So with that, I think we closed up out of this thing.
Right, and now, like Jeff said, the best radio station in the world. Hey. What did he say? Radio show in the world.
Calculated Conversation, best
thank
radio
you,
show.
Thank you. We thank out. You.
This is KBOO Portland.
Girl in the